From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. The UN Security Council Tuesday unanimously passed a resolution demanding that access routes be opened for delivery of humanitarian aid in Syria. More than 250,000 people are believed to have been killed in nearly 5 years of fighting there. Veronica Reeves has more.
In its first resolution on Syria since giving the UN a more prominent role in finding a peaceful settlement to the crisis in the country, the Security Council Tuesday demanded better access for humanitarian aid. In the resolution aimed at improving the delivery of vital humanitarian assistance, the Council expressed concern over the lack of compliance with several similar resolutions. In particular, the Council was deeply disturbed by the inability of humanitarian actors to reach nearly 400,000 people trapped in besieged areas of Syria with critical food and medical assistance. The 15-member body requested the Syrian authorities to expeditiously respond to requests for humanitarian deliveries from the UN and its partners. The Council also voiced concern that terrorist organizations such as ISIL, Al-Nusra Front, and groups linked to Al-Qaeda were further hindering access. Veronica Reeves, United Nations.
Russia's UN Ambassador Vitaly Churkin expressed concern that the Council's mandate failed to adequately protect against the possibility that aid convoys could be used to deliver weapons and fighters to terrorist groups in Syria.
The Russian delegation recommended the distribution of a UN mechanism for humanitarian monitoring, established through Security Council Resolution 2165, on all cargo going to Syria and declared as humanitarian. We understand the burden that would be borne by the UN here. But we really are concerned that the provision of weapons to fighters is not stopping, and foreign terrorist fighters across the world continue to file into the ranks of ISIL, al-Nusra, and other terrorist armed groups.
The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights criticized Saudi Arabia over its continued military campaign against Yemen. Zayed Raad said the bombardment appears to be responsible for a disproportionate number of attacks on civilian areas. He made the remarks at the UN Security Council, saying the attacks have also destroyed Yemen's civilian infrastructure, including hospitals and schools. Saudi Arabia began its military campaign against Yemen in March. The attacks have killed over 7,300 people. We'll bring you more from that Security Council meeting on Yemen later in this newscast. More than 50 police officers involved in fatal shootings this year had previously fired their guns in deadly on-duty shootings. That, according to an investigation reported by the Washington Post Wednesday. For some of the officers, it was their third fatal shooting, and for one officer, his fourth. The analysis highlighted the federal government's lack of oversight of fatal police shootings nationwide, including the absence of a system for tracking multiple shootings by individual officers. The 55 officers were identified as part of a Washington Post project tracking all fatal shootings by police in the line of duty in 2015. The Post claims it's the first nationwide attempt to determine whether fatal police shootings are isolated events in an officer's career or whether some officers repeatedly fire their weapons in deadly encounters. The Post also found an additional 45 officers had previously been involved in non-fatal shootings. NYPD officer Jonathan Munoz, who arrested a man trying to film an incident involving him and other officers with a cell phone camera, was charged Tuesday with official misconduct and lying on a criminal complaint. The charges stem from an incident in March in Washington Heights, where Munoz arrested 21-year-old Jason DeSisto, charging him with disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and interfering with a police investigation. The officer later said that DeSisto lunged at him and swung a fist before he was arrested. But that story was contradicted by surveillance videos, prosecutor Julio Cuevas Jr. said in court Tuesday, which show Munoz approaching a 20-year-old female friend of DeSisto's and, he said, illegally searching her pockets. Another video then shows DeSisto borrowing a phone and raising it to film the police, Munoz grabbing his arms and, with the help of two other officers, taking him into custody. That phone was later thrown from a police car. DeSisto has filed a civil suit against the city for wrongful arrest and malicious prosecution. That suit accuses NYPD of having a custom and practice of retaliatory arrest against people who photograph or videotape police activity. The city's law department has denied that charge. The UN Security Council Tuesday heard reports on the conditions in Yemen. The meeting began with a report from Ismail Ould Sheikh Ahmed. Other members of the council had an opportunity to speak afterwards.
Madam President, thank you for this opportunity to brief the council on the latest developments in Yemen. I have just returned from the first face-to-face talks of the Yemen peace process, which I facilitated in Switzerland. These meetings did not produce an end to the fighting as we had all hoped. They did, however, see constructive meetings between the Yemeni government and its political and military opponents. These talks provided a solid foundation for resumed talks in the near future and the basis for a renewed and strengthened cessation of hostilities. I'm very grateful for the Swiss government hosting of all these talks and the excellent support which they provided. The talks came during a very bleak period for Yemen and amidst a worsening security situation. Since my last briefing, violence pervaded many parts of the country, leading to hundreds of civilian deaths and many more injured. The catastrophic situation of Yemen's healthcare system was made even worse with the destruction of two Médecins Sans Frontières medical facilities in Taiz and Saada. Cross-border attacks in the north involving the use of heavy weaponry had a serious impact on security and stability in the border area. The residents of Taiz continued to suffer the consequences of heavy fighting and a severe lack of assistance. Artillery fire and airstrikes have continued to affect residential areas of the city. These attacks, which constitute grave breaches of international humanitarian law, as well as the obstruction of humanitarian assistance, have had a devastating impact on the lives and livelihoods of the city's residents. As I noted in earlier briefings, the conflict and the security vacuum it has caused has led to a dangerous expansion of extremist groups in the country, particularly in the areas of Abyan, Albeda, and Shabwa. Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula has consolidated its presence in the governorate of Hadramaut and its control of the port of Mukalla. The Islamic State, ISIS, has continued its campaign of attacks and assassination of political leaders and security officials. The governor of Aden, Major General Mohammed Jafar Saad, was assassinated on 6 December along with six of his guard one day following my visit to Aden. At the time, I strongly condemned this act of terrorism. Madam President, the talks in Switzerland followed many weeks of consultation with the Yemeni leaders and the governments in the region. I consulted with the foreign ministers of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, the Sultanate of Oman, the United Arab Emirates, the State of Qatar, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and the GCC Secretary General, all of whom demonstrated their strong support for the peace process. Despite the grave security challenges, I visited President Hadi in Aden on the 5th of December for final consultations in advance of the talks. I also met repeatedly with Vice President Khalid Bahah and the government of Yemen representatives in Riyadh, as well as representative of the Houthis, the General Popular Conference, and other stakeholders in the Sultanate of Oman. Despite deep differences, we were able to agree on the format and agenda of the talks in the days before the consultative meeting. On the 15th of December, delegations finally met around a single table in the town of Mekelen in Switzerland. The talks were aimed at putting an end to violence in Yemen, as well as developing a clear framework based on Resolution 2216, which will bring the country back to a peaceful and orderly transition in accordance with the GCC initiative and the outcomes of the national dialogue. Participants in the talks demonstrated the courage and determination needed for successful negotiations. In the weeks of preparation for the talks, the government of Yemen, the Houthis, the JPC, and the other key Yemeni stakeholders expressed their willingness to have a full and comprehensive cessation of hostilities during the talks. President Hadi communicated his support for a ceasefire to the Secretary General of the United Nations in a letter dated 7 December. States in the region and the coalition also expressed support for cessation of hostilities, which I believe was essential for ensuring the confidence of the Yemeni people in the peace process. I announced the cessation of hostilities on the morning of the 15th of December. Both the government of Yemen and the Houthis and the general and the GPC publicly welcomed this announcement and pledged to respect the cessation of hostilities. In order to minimize the violations, we established a coordination and de-escalation committee comprised of military advisors from the two delegations and UN experts. The committee liaised with the military leadership in Yemen in order to help avoid clashes and any escalation of violence, with some success in the first days. Tragically, we were not able to preserve the cessation of the hostilities throughout the length of the talks. Although we did see a significant reduction of violence in the first days of the talks, there were numerous violations reported by the committee on the third day. The lack of compliance with the cessation of hostilities demonstrates the need for stronger agreements as well as more robust mechanisms to ensure adherence. The participants in the talks subsequently agreed that the committee's work would continue over the coming months immediately after the end of this round of talks. We agreed with the delegations that the committee should be based in the region with UN support. For this to happen, I hope we can rely on member states' generous support for the work of this committee. This is a concrete and practical outcome of the talks in Switzerland, and I hope will allow a more effective ceasefire agreement in the near future. The agenda for the talks included discussion of humanitarian issues, confidence-building measures, as well as a discussion of a general framework which could serve as a foundation for a comprehensive settlement. The first days of the talks also saw constructive engagement on humanitarian issues. In order to ensure that the discussions on humanitarian issues were grounded in the practical challenges of delivering assistance in Yemen, I invited several senior officials from the UN's humanitarian agencies to join the talks. With their assistance, the participants in Switzerland agreed to restore humanitarian access to Taiz, which had been largely cut off from aid for many months. I'm very grateful to my colleagues from the UN humanitarian agencies who were able to operationalize this agreement immediately. A large UN convoy with fuel and food supplies entered Taiz on the 17th of December in the first large shipment of aid in almost 3 months. As noted in the final communique of the talks, the sides are committed to working with me and the UN humanitarian team to build on this agreement to ensure expanded aid in the coming weeks. Most importantly, the discussions in Switzerland led to a common understanding of a negotiating framework for concluding a comprehensive agreement for ending the conflict and for the resumption of inclusive political dialogue. This framework is firmly based on Resolution 2216 and other relevant Security Council resolutions and provides a mechanism for return to a peaceful and orderly transition based on the GCC initiative and national dialogue outcomes. The two sides have agreed that this framework will serve as the foundation of the next round of talks. This framework provides a mechanism for negotiating the sequencing and the interdependence between the key elements of Resolution 2216, including the creation of interim security committees, the withdrawal of militias and armed groups, the restoration of state institutions and state functioning, and the resumption of inclusive political dialogue, which will be needed to agree on the remaining steps of Yemen's political transition. This framework provides the foundation for a new political consensus with special security measures which will help Yemen achieve stability and enable it to confront the expansion of terrorist groups. The talks reveal deep divisions between the two sides on the path to peace and the shape of a future agreement. Trust between the parties remains weak. I have to admit that there were several days when I feared that the two sides would not find a way to make progress on any of the central issues. The commitment of the delegations, especially the chairs, in the end proved stronger than these divisions. By the end of the talks, the delegations have agreed to meet again next month using a common framework which will help them map out a clear and effective path to peace towards a negotiated and inclusive political transition. Madam President, distinguished members of the Council, the parties to the talks should be commended for the progress that has been made and the courage they have demonstrated at the talks in Switzerland. We all know that the path to peace in Yemen will be a long and difficult one. But we also know that failure is not an option. The lives of Yemeni people have been devastated by the most horrific violence and conflict that the country has ever seen. It is time to begin creating a safe and stable future for generations to come. The challenge now will be how to strengthen and build upon the progress we have made. This peace process is very young. For it to flourish and prosper, it will take nurturing, care, and a great deal of support. I would like to sincerely thank President Abdurrabbo Mansour Hadi for his strong commitment to bring a lasting peace to Yemen. I'm also very grateful to the government's delegation led by Deputy Prime Minister Abdelmalek Al-Mikhlafi for the constructive and open spirit during the consultations. I'm equally grateful to Mr. Arif Zuka and Muhammad Abdusalam and the respective teams for their conciliatory and courageous attitude during these talks. At this juncture, I must thank you, Member States, for your tireless and steadfast support of our efforts. It has been invaluable. I hope we can count on your continued help in the coming months. I need the Council's support to ensure a durable and comprehensive ceasefire in advance of the upcoming round of talks. I will also need your backing for the negotiating framework which we have proposed to the parties and which I believe will help Yemen to find an end to the war and the beginning of a more prosperous and stable future. God's peace and blessings be upon you. Thank you.
And then give the floor to the representative of Venezuela.
Gracias, señora presidenta.
Thank you, President. We're very grateful for the briefings that we have received from the Special Envoy of the Secretary General for Yemen, Mr. Sheikh Ahmed, as well as that from the High Commissioner for Human Rights, Mr. Zaidat Al-Hussein, and the Assistant Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Deputy Emergency Relief Coordinator, Ms. Kim Hwa Khang. President, we need to admit that the response of the Security Council in light of the situation in Yemen has been ineffective, given that Resolution 2216 that was adopted in April of this year has had scant impact in terms of finding a solution to the armed conflict. Even with this bleak outlook, Venezuela remains convinced that only through dialogue and negotiations can we lay the foundations for an end to the conflict in order to promote, subsequently, a peaceful and orderly political transition. We therefore hail the peace dialogue that took place in Switzerland last week. This new initiative, spearheaded by the special envoy, points to the importance of the leadership of the United Nations in this political negotiation process and the role to be played by the UN as a mediator in the conflict. This peace dialogue process has to go forward on an unconditional basis and in good faith, and it needs to include representatives of civil society, including women, with the goal of putting together public policies that would redound to the benefit of the Yanomami population as a whole. Even though the parties appeared willing to agree to a cessation of hostilities before the start of the conversations, it is regrettable that we have received reports of violations of that cessation of hostilities agreement nonetheless. These actions have a direct impact on the dialogue and hamper the path towards a peace agreement. From this standpoint, we call upon all parties to comply with this commitment to a cessation of hostilities to the well-being of the Yemeni people. Such action would streamline the achievement of concrete progress. The prolongation of the conflict in this country has rendered the likelihood of achieving a political, peaceful and definitive solution to said conflict increasingly tenuous. We regret the fact that a lack of political will shown by all parties to the conflict to put an end to the hostilities has dragged Yemen into a situation of chaos, which has ended up having a severely adverse impact on the civilian population. Given that this is the reality, we urge once again all parties to commit to reaching agreements on a timely basis with a view to achieving as soon as possible a definitive solution to the crisis. We would like to reiterate our view that negotiations will only be fruitful to the extent that the parties show flexibility and commitment to achieving a robust and lasting peace in Yemen. President, Yemen is in the throes of a serious humanitarian crisis that is the product of the armed conflict that has racked this country. As has been described in various reports, 80% of the Yemeni population, in other words, more than 20 million out of a population of 25 million people, urgently need some form of humanitarian aid in order to be able to alleviate their pressing needs in terms of food, medicines, and fuel. Yemen has become one of the worst, if not the worst, humanitarian crisis in the region, despite the media silence on this fact. We have to acknowledge that this is the reality. Venezuela regrets that to date the conflict has led to the loss of life of approximately 6,000 individuals, half of whom were civilians, and the injury of some 27,500, including, according to UNICEF, some 637 children killed and 927 children injured. To this tragedy, we add the plight of 1.3 million children under the age of five who are facing malnutrition and 2.3 million individuals who have been forced to flee their homes, whilst a further hundreds of thousands have had to flee the country itself. We hope that the parties to the conflict will guarantee humanitarian agencies access to the most hard-to-reach parts of the country so that they can deliver humanitarian aid to mitigate the most pressing needs of the population. I believe this would be a good opportunity to congratulate the World Food Programme, UNICEF, and the various humanitarian agencies and voluntary agencies who have been tireless in their efforts in trying to bring relief to the adverse impact suffered by the civilian population in the wake of this conflict. President, we would like to take this opportunity to robustly condemn the assassination of the government of Aden, Mr. Yafar Mohamed Saad, an act perpetrated at the beginning of this month by ISIS. We repeat our view that the only beneficiaries of the conflict in Yemen are Al-Qaeda and ISIS, bodies which feed off chaos and violence in order to be able to achieve their objectives. As Mr. Ahmed said in his own briefing, the aforementioned terrorist groups have extended their activities into Yemen, which further complicates what was already a very precarious political situation. As we have expressed previously, the effective fight against terrorism in Yemen requires there to be a state in place with solid and robust institutions, but that can only be the case once the armed conflict has come to an end and peace and stability have been re-established. This will need the participation of all sectors of civil society, or Yemeni society as a whole. As we have said in the past, and as we would like to say here again, we condemn violence and terrorism in all its forms and manifestations. Faced with the havoc wrought by this conflict, Venezuela would like to appeal to the parties to adopt urgent measures with a view to reaching an agreement that would put an end to the hostilities. We also call upon them all to respect international humanitarian law and international human rights laws, laws which are violated on a recurrent and systematic basis by all parties to the conflict currently. Dialogue is the only path that will allow us to achieve peace and stability. This point, I believe, bears repeating. The solution to this conflict is political, negotiated, and peaceful. Those countries that have any measure of influence on the parties to the conflict must do their utmost to ensure that progress is made in this process. The situation in Yemen is dramatic. The protracted crisis in Yemen should serve as a definitive wake-up call to us that we cannot throw in the towel with regard to our efforts to help to turn the climate of prevailing violence in that country around. There is a requirement that the international community supports all political efforts that are peaceful in nature, that are pursued with the goal of safeguarding the sovereignty, independence, and territorial integrity of the country. And in particular, measures must be taken by the international community to ensure the protection of the Yemeni population so devastatingly affected by the war. To conclude, we are of the view that this council must act constructively in addressing the political crisis that affects our brother people of Yemen and in helping millions of citizens to withstand the deprivations caused by the war. Thank you very much, President.
Thank the representative of Venezuela for his statement and give the floor to the representative of China.
Thank you, Madam President. I thank Mr. Ahmed, the Special Envoy, Mr. Hussein, the High Commissioner for Human Rights, and Ms. Kenwa Kang, the Assistant Secretary General, for their briefings. Recently, thanks to the active good offices of the international community, including the United Nations, the Yemen settlement process has made positive headway. The Yemeni parties have restarted their political dialogue in Switzerland and has reached agreements, including the temporary ceasefire agreement. Developments that China welcomes. China highly appreciates the good offices and will firmly support the good offices by Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and his special envoy, Mr. Ahmed, in mediating the conflict in Yemen. The history of Yemen has repeatedly proved that war provides no solution and that political dialogue is the only way out for achieving lasting peace for Yemen. The parties should sit down and continue their talks. And hope that the Yemeni parties will proceed from the overall interest of their state and party and their people and the overall interest of peace and stability in their region, seize the opportunity, continue to participate unconditionally in the political dialogue under UN auspices, ensure the holding on schedule of the dialogue and to demonstrate good faith in the dialogue and produce political decisiveness so as to seek an early political settlement that's in keeping with the realities of Yemen and accommodates the concerns of all the parties. It's hoped that the international community will make greater efforts to promote peace talks, build confidence and dissipate suspicions. It's also hoped that states in the region and the relevant regional organizations will continue to play their constructive roles. Madam President, protracted conflict has resulted in a worsening humanitarian situation in Yemen. China fully sympathizes with the Yemeni people in their suffering. Along with progress made in Yemen's political settlement process, China hopes that the UN will continue to step up coordination of delivery of humanitarian assistance to Yemen. The parties concerned should also actively cooperate with the UN in its efforts by providing safe humanitarian assets without interference. The international donors should honor their commitments as soon as possible to ease Yemen's humanitarian crisis. China has been following closely the situation in Yemen, actively promoting peace talks and has been providing great amounts of humanitarian assistance to Yemen. China will continue to work with the international community in a concerted effort to push for an early resumption of peace and stability in Yemen. Thank you, Madam President.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.